Peace from Jesus Christ be with you all this Sunday morning. Jesus said, as is recorded in Luke 13, verse 24, strive to enter by the narrow door. Friends, today is an important day in the life of our congregation, and I want to talk to you today about something so important that it can mean the difference between heaven and hell. You not only have the opportunity to receive or reject the salvation and eternal life that God offers to you for yourself, but today's a reminder that you have the chance to open the door to heaven for lots of other people as well. Jesus speaks about the way to salvation as a narrow door. It's narrow because it's the kind of door that's so easy to miss. You might walk by it in life and not see it. I say that because there are many, many religions, and almost all of them offer and speak about some of the same things that Christianity, our faith, does, like love and humility, about being peaceable people, about showing kindness to others, and about finding strength for living. In all of these religions, this is focused here, and they can provide some comfort and direction as we live here in the world. But there comes that question of what happens when I die, and that's where the religions differ. The Bible calls its way salvation. It's called salvation because God has revealed in the Bible that he plans to end all of this world and close its existence, everything in it, including all people. And to be spared on that day is to be saved or to receive salvation. Now, when people hear about this, even many Christians today, they start to wonder and scratch their heads and they say, how could a loving God damn the souls that he created and send them to hell? And they struggle with that. How can you put this loving God together with this kind of judgment and sentence? And so sometimes people start to question and they come up with ideas that don't go in agreement with what God's revealed in Holy Scripture. Ideas like that all people somehow will be saved, or those who exhibit a certain amount of good in their lives or do good things for others to some level that varies from a little bit to a lot will be spared or be saved. Or that, as we hear often nowadays, that damnation is some kind of later addition to Christianity, that, you know, maybe originally Jesus didn't speak about hell, but that was put into the Bible later on. But our text for today from Luke 13 clearly says that there is a door to salvation and that the door is narrow and many people will miss it and the door will be closed to them. Now, we Lutherans have our own kind of lingo, our own words that we use, and we call this idea justification. And I hope you remember that by justification, that word, which is a biblical word, we understand that it means that we are declared to be righteous, declared to be without any guilt for all of our sins. And this happens when a person believes that Jesus is God and that he died on the cross and that sacrifice paid for the sins of the world. And that by believing in our own hearts personally, that which Jesus did on the cross is applied to us, to each and every one of us, to provide payment for our sins. But Jesus said that many would seek to enter this narrow door, but would not be able. Now, once that door is shut, our text tells us that either when we die or when the Lord comes again and surprise at the end of the world, which can be any time, there will be no way for us to open that door. There is not going to be a second chance after death where that door swings open. Rather, it'll be the opposite. It's closed. For as our text says, when once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, you will begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And then he'll answer you, I don't know where you came from. The door's going to stay shut. Now, I had an experience like this, not a life and death experience, but with closed doors around here at church. You know, during the week, we like to lock all the doors and then have people come into the front door. So they have a little doorbell there. We find out who they are. That way we know who's in the building. You know, we don't get any surprises. But one time, you know, Pastor Wright left his keys on his desk, and he kind of went out in the back and out by the playground and came back up and didn't have his keys. And I'm thinking, oh, how am I going to get in? So I go around and try all the doors, and wonderful, all our employees, you know, left the doors locked. So I have to walk all the way around the building and in the front door like you would and, you know, buzz the doorbell and ask somebody to let me in. All the exits are closed, and there's only one entrance. Well, this idea is similar to what we have in our text here today. There's only one entrance. There's only one door to God's people, the church. And that door is really Jesus himself. Now, Jesus is not saying that he's a slab of wood, you know, that hangs on hinges. It's a metaphor. But he's saying that he is the only way to enter into God's presence. And we believe that, of course, Jesus is a true historical figure, that he was truly a human like us. We call this the doctrine of the incarnation, that God became a human being. But we also believe, as the scripture teaches us, that God in Jesus was still God. He didn't give up being a divine being in order to be a human. So he was two things at once, divine and human at the same time. In order to do that, to be justified, that is to be declared free from sin, we must believe, each one personally, in this God-man, Jesus Christ, and all that he did for us, thereby offering himself up for our sin. Each one of us must have his or her own faith in Christ. No matter how much we love our children, we cannot believe for them. They have to believe for themselves and all our acquaintances and friends as well. So I say to you on this day, which is also for our congregation this important day where we start a new year in our Christian education emphasis here at St. John, we should all be looking for that opportunity to have that crucial conversation with those we love and those we live in the world with people who are important to us. Now, it might be our family, might be our children that we're raising, might be our grandchildren that we see and love and get a chance to talk with from time to time. It might be extended family, or it might be friends or people we work with. But the topic of this crucial conversation that we're going to look for, that opportunity to have, is very simple. The topic is, who do you think Jesus is? Who is Jesus? And what has he done for you? It's crucial because it may be that God uses you to open the door to faith and salvation to another person who might not hear about who Jesus is. Now, that's a great honor, but the problem is that so often we miss these opportunities. For instance, too few husbands and wives have this conversation regularly to talk about their own personal faith. You know, we might say, are you going to church tomorrow? Oh, yes, I've got to bring, you know, coffee cake for this opening luncheon that we're having. But what we really should be saying from time to time is something like this. You know, are you going to heaven? Am I going to see you there, honey, in the kingdom of heaven? And how do you know? Just to kind of help each other along the way. Or between parents and kids. You know, when I grew up, it seemed oftentimes that mom and dad sometimes assumed that all that stuff was going to be taken care of Sunday school, you know, or vacation Bible school. Or in a church like this, maybe in the day school, maybe we think, oh, well, we're getting all that in the school, So, you know, it's not so important that we talk about it at home. But how important those conversations are, where we talk about heaven, you know, what it will be like with our children, and ask them again if they know, how do you get into the kingdom of heaven? And we're looking for that assurance that they know, above all other things that are important to know about life, they know that heaven's door is open only through faith in Jesus Christ and not in the things that we can do to somehow get God's approval. We already have it by faith in His Son. Now, we should not let ourselves think that we've got a lot of time to do this. We have the rest of our lives. But we don't know how long that's going to be, or how these loved ones or acquaintances, how long they're going to be with us. So there is the time is arisen right now and each day. And what about those acquaintances that we have? You know, those neighbors that we see from time to time and talk to over the fence? Or those people at work, those co-workers? Look for those opportunities, people, as they arise. You may be the one that God has chosen to bring that door to open and to bring the good news to another person. And again, that conversation can be very, very simple. Can be as simple as when someone asks you about, are you a Christian, and what's your church like, or what do you teach your children about God? You know, it can be a simple conversation that you affirm that there is a God, that He's very interested in what goes on in this world. He's interested in all people. And He also, in time, you believe, visited us as well. And He wants to bring all people to Himself after death. And that's why He sent His Son into the world. And that happens for us. God brings us into His kingdom, which is going to last forever, when we believe that this is true. Isaiah speaks about the church gathering all people together as if it were the Old Testament people who were dispersed through their many wars and conflicts all around the world, around the known world, as if God was gathering them back as a nation again. But really, that's Isaiah's picture. It's even bigger than that. Because now, through the church today, God is gathering people who were dispersed as far back as Adam and Eve. Since this sin, this disobedience to God, first entered the world, He's still gathering His people together from all cultures and all locations around the world, from the east and the west and the north and the south, as we just sang. So I say to you today, don't shirk this responsibility. You don't want to do that. Don't blow it off, because God wants you to have that conversation with those you love and those He places into your life in different moments. Now, this week, a woman came and she shared a little story with me about speaking up at work with a co-worker. A co-worker was having some troubles in her life, and she asked this lady about what it meant to be a Christian. And, you know, she didn't even know why Jesus had to die. As people just don't know all this. Just because we were raised in this all of our life doesn't mean everybody else knows it. But she mentioned how she was able to say why Jesus died and what that meant for her personally, what the difference that made in her life, knowing that she would live with God forever and she had God's approval now because of Jesus' grace to her. And I said to her, you know, that's really great, because when I got into the idea of being a pastor, I thought I was going to be speaking with lots of unbelievers all the time. But you know who I get to speak to week after week? That's you. And most all of you are believers, aren't you? Once in a while, I get to talk to somebody who doesn't know a whole lot about Jesus. But this woman said, Pastor, it's so different for me. Very few of the people that I know or work with are believers in Christ, are Christians. And I said, that's great. She took that risk to have that crucial conversation with someone, and that someone will probably thank her in the kingdom of heaven and lots of other people as well. Now, I know that you're probably thinking right now, boy, I have sure blown it in the past. How many opportunities have God given me with people to share the good news, and I haven't taken them? And that's true. We do it for various reasons. Sometimes we feel afraid. Sometimes we feel like we're not qualified. We might feel that we're embarrassed to speak about our faith. Or you think, oh, well, I got lots of time to get around to it. And then what happens? You never see that person again, or they move away or something, or take a different job. At times like that, I want you to think about how crucial it is, the hope you have inside of you. Not that you force it on people like that or threaten them, but just to offer it up. Hey, here's what I believe. Would you like to hear? Think of Jesus' words where he says, the people who are outside that door on the last day, they'll say, we ate with you, we drank with you, and you taught in our streets. You know, it makes me think of someone who would say, Lord, can I get into heaven? I lived next to a church my whole life. Doesn't that count for something? But Jesus will say, depart from me. I don't know you. God forgives you for those missed opportunities in the past that you haven't taken advantage of. But take advantage of the present to have that crucial conversation. Introduce someone to Jesus in your own words, without any pressure, but just let the story that God has put into your heart come out from your lips. Don't worry about the consequences. You are more than qualified to tell someone else about the good news. That's why we gather our children on this day to think about a new year as they move up in grades. And we offer to all of you adults as well the opportunity to learn again at Jesus' feet as we do that together around his word. But keep having that conversation in your home and in your life. And these people who hear your words about Christ, they'll never stop thanking you. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds for life everlasting. Amen.